Wow.
What a day. What a season. God is doing his thing. He's building his church. We're not here by accident. We're here because God is raising, doing things in our lives. And I just want to thank the elders and all of you. You have been so supportive of us. We've been here for 2 years, and all we've heard is, come on, you've got this. Do this, come on. And so much encouragement. It's so good to be in this season with you of what the Lord is doing. You know what? Most of what I wanted to share this morning has been said already. It's just come up, really, and yesterday at the gathering. So I'm just going to just confirm what's already been said, which is pretty cool. I like that. So good to have six in our worship team this morning, guys. Rhys and Anouk, thank you. Where are you? Over there. Thank you so much for coming through and just bringing the spirit that God has put upon you and your talents, and for leading us so gently. It was lovely. Thank you so much. Paolo, special shout out. I called him last night. Good grief. Come and do some rhythm. And he said, yes, man, I'm there. So thank you guys so much. Very special. So I'm sharing about the church, strangely enough. And it started with a, you know how sometimes God drops a thought into your head, but it actually lands in your heart. So you don't see it on a chalkboard, but you kind of feel it inside of you. And this is kind of how it went. It was a sense, I was driving, by the way, going to a client, and I was thinking through what I'm going to do at the client. So it's IT support, so after I've done Control Alt Delete and that doesn't work, what do I do next? So it's important stuff. And this thought, completely off topic, just dropped into my heart, was what an extreme privilege it is to belong to the church. But with it, I want to expound on that a little bit, because I know how awesome it is to fellowship with you guys. And our fellowship is all, that's why it's so hard to get people to come from the back to come and sit down to start at 10 o'clock. We're always late because the fellowship is so great. And there is this aspect of church. It's what we see, touch, taste, feel. It's us. But this picture, this heart, was God looking from the outside, just saying, look at the church, the color, the weight of quality, the beauty, the history, the effort, the work that's gone in to create this container that we call church. It's not the building. I know we say, where are you going? I'm going to church. We don't mean the bricks and mortar. God has created something so awesome. And I think sometimes in the hustle and bustle of church life, because we have a lot of meetings, it must be said, we're busy from one thing to the next, and it's all awesome, it's all exciting. But sometimes that can become just us. I think sometimes we might see ourselves as a ragtag bunch of Christians who've just come out from a surf session, and we're struggling to follow Jesus, and we're all in that. And there is that aspect, because we are. But from the other side, looking down on us as a church, I want to just put some color, some texture to that. And there's a bit of history in that too. So we need to go back a bit to the second book in the Bible, which is, thank you, Exodus. So we're going to go to Exodus, Exodus chapter 25, verses 2-7. We'll get there, because what they're doing there is they're building a tabernacle. They're building a tabernacle for the presence of the Lord. And that tabernacle is a type of the church that's coming. So God is looking ahead to us, and he's giving them a picture of what that's going to look like. And there's been so many studies on this, and I'm not going to get into every detail because there is so much wealth in there. Mike Davies has done a lovely study on all of this in great detail. We're just going to brush over, add some color, get a feel for this. So I'm going to give you the materials list for this project. Can you imagine anybody who's in the building trade and this is the materials list you get to do your project? Here it is. Exodus 25, verses 2 to 7. Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, bronze. Can you feel the weight of that? Quality. Blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. Can you see those colors? Fine linen. Goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and other types of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for fragrant incense. Can you smell that? And onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. There's weight, there's depth, there's quality, there's color. The acacia wood, here's just a thing about that particular type of wood, is a dense, durable hardwood known for its striking grain patterns and rich, warm colors ranging from honey gold to deep reddish brown. It is highly resistant to moisture, rot, and scratches, making an excellent, sustainable choice for both indoor furniture and outdoor use. So it's a good piece of tree, and they're not polishing it, they're covering it with gold. We see the gold, but there's depth in there. There's richness right inside that. So this is not a tent. This is not just somewhat a tent. Like modern tents nowadays, you can just pull a string and bam, there it is. You jump in and you do your camp and you pull another string, I think, and it just goes. And this is not that. Just thinking of this, I was taken back to when my children were all small, all at home, all contained in one house. A brief chapter of our lives. And so the four of them, probably ages 2, 4, 6, 8, and on wintry, wet days like we've had over the last week where they can't go outside and play and they're kind of housebound, what do they do? I don't know if you had the privilege of doing this, but they take the furniture in the lounge and they hoi it over and they start building stuff. And our lounge curtains were quite broad, and they went right to the floor, so they lifted up the curtains and put them over the wingback chair that's now up this way round, and they build these structures. And as a father, I'm looking at this, and I'm, wow, that is such fun. Brings back memories of my own childhood, and that makes wonderful things. And then I get down on my hands and knees, and I come crawling in. Where's the entrance? What are we doing here? And I go into this, and if it's the boys, it'll be a castle, and we're fighting goblins with wooden swords. If it's the girls, you're invited to a tea room. Some of the most expensive tea in the province, I'll tell you. And nasturtium leaf sandwiches, it didn't take off. But anyway, I'm in there and my heart is bursting to be with them. And if we go back to Exodus, hope we don't get feedback here. We've got God on Mount Sinai. And he's looking down at his precious children encamped below in the wilderness, in their families, in their tribes, millions in their tents. And Exodus 25, verse 8. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. That's the Father's heart. That's why we're here. It's all because of what he has done. And there's a tragedy there because he longs to be with his children. This is the first time in Scripture at this point that he's expressed a desire to be amongst his people. Right through Genesis, Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, all of them, God appeared to them. He anointed them. He said he would be with them, but he never dwelt amongst them. There were moments when he came down and anointed. He came down and judged whatever he did. But this time, he wants to come down and be amongst his children. Sin is devastating. We sometimes get comfortable with our sin. We wink at sin sometimes. But it separated us from him. But not just that. It separated the Father from his children. He used to walk in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. He hasn't done that since the fall. This Father wants to be amongst his people. And so he says, make a sanctuary for me. He gives them the instructions. He gives them the material list. And for several chapters in Exodus, chapter 25 all the way through to 31, there are explicit directions on how to make this. Every measurement of every item, all measured out, they had to get it from God. Is it like this? Is this long? Is this how high? Is this high? Is this texture? Is this color? This is how you're to do it. God had a plan. He had to do this to protect the people. He couldn't just break out and come into the crowd there because people had already died by setting foot when he's present on the mountain. But he wants to be with them. And so he creates this structure. It's a plan from heaven. It carries on into the temple, where the tabernacle was mobile, a mobile sanctuary through the wilderness. The temple was a solid structure, foundation in the middle of Israel, in the middle of Jerusalem. Again, the presence of God amongst his people. He's dwelling amongst us. And then we come to Jesus. And we're introduced to Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That word dwelling in the original is tabernacled. He tabernacled. So this is the picture, is that just as God's presence was in the tent tabernacle, Jesus' body is now a tabernacle for God's presence. Jesus had God inside of him. So this is God tabernacling amongst his people in the form of a human, of Jesus. He walked, called his disciples, did his ministry, and he was rejected, and he went to the cross. And this is where the most amazing thing happened, as we know. This is all just reminders. Such a huge thing happened on the cross, different to the tabernacle, different to the temple. In Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20, it says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Jesus' body broken on the cross, torn, the temple curtain torn, so that we could look in, but more so, the Father can be amongst his people. He doesn't need this veil to separate because of the sin, because of what Christ accomplished, the righteousness of Christ. So God is present with his people. That's what Jesus accomplished. His name is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And so what is God doing? He's building a spiritual temple. If we have a look at 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And further on in Ephesians, it says, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We carry his presence. The presence of the God who was up on Sinai, who came down to be amongst his people. We carry his presence. What an extreme privilege we have. What a rich, weighty, royal thing we have in this container called church. It's God's presence. All the color, all the richness, all the quality that we see in the tabernacle is found in Jesus and what he accomplished. Let's just have a look at a few of those colors. Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, 6 verse 10. It says, who is this that appears like the dawn, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, majestic as the stars in procession. It's talking about husband and wife, man and a woman, but it's also talking about Jesus and his bride. Isaiah 61 verse 10. No, Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Have you seen snow and the sun glistens off it? It is dazzling. That's how God sees us. We struggle with sin, and we struggle in our walk. And it's good to confess and to have the spiritual breathing. As I sin, I confess it out, and I receive forgiveness from him. But from the other side, it's accomplished already. We are the righteous ones, shining like the sun. This is what Jesus has done. And we carry with us a cloak of righteousness. It's a cloak that we put on. He doesn't see those sins anymore. We are covered by a cloak. That is rich and colorful and weighty. It's like gold. It's all of those things we saw in the tabernacle. What about us now? Let's have a look at 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 10. This is what we were talking about yesterday, and it's been mentioned here several times in this meeting. I'm just going to read this. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay in a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Just a few points here. We are living stones. If a stone is anything, it's dead. How dead is it? It is stone dead. It's stone dead. It's, everybody knows that. But we were dead. But in Christ, we're made alive because of him. When our lives are fixed on him, his life comes through us and we become living stones, being built into a spiritual house, the temple of the living God. Jesus is the master builder. I just see this picture of a builder, and he's building a building, and the walls are not completed yet. There might be some window frames in, walls are half built up, and he's picking up and contemplating each stone that he's working with. Not bricks. You're not just another brick in the wall. Excuse me. Come on. It's hard. Who's a Floyd fan? Come on. Oh, we're not gonna start singing that now. But bricks are all the same shape. We're not like that. We're different weights, shapes, colors, sizes, whatever. As you consider like the Lawrence Hood River with all of those stones, you won't see many of them now. I think it's more just leaves and tree branches and stuff, but the rocks and the stones next to the river all have different shapes and sizes. I don't think there's any two alike. That's us. And the master builder, Jesus, picks up the stone because he wants to place it in a particular place. Are you yielded to him? Are you allowing him to be able to use you in that way. There are many that are. There are many that are saying, yeah, come Lord, use me. But I think some, there's a resistance. I don't know if it's fear. We can look into that. But he picks up these stones and he says, I want to use this one and I want to use it over here. But you know what? He's got a purpose and a plan for it. But it's not quite fitting. So what do the builders do? You've seen this. They take the trowel and they clap it. And they sand it. And they file it. Don't be surprised. When you give yourself to service, that there's a bit of work to be done in our own lives to expose what's in us. And I think as a church, we've been through that in the last weeks and months. God has been exposing things that need to come out into the light. We had that chat series. We've had a series on forgiveness. God is bringing out these things to be dealt with so that he can fit us where he needs us to be. He's doing that work amongst us, and it's so exciting to be a part of it. Sometimes, because of the power of what he's going to accomplish in his build, the enemy is fighting. Sometimes it's just an outright enemy attack. We need to discern when it's no in Jesus' name, or yes, come and make me more like you. That's what's happening amongst us. He's building. Jesus says, I will build my church, says Jesus. He's the master builder, but we also are building as he gives us work to do. So exciting to have leadership expanded. And not just that. In the worship team, I think we've had 5 new people coming up here to worship in team for the first time in the last couple of weeks. Come on. Stuff is happening. Now is the time. I think the Lord is saying, we heard this yesterday as well. It's now. Christine and I have been out of church activity for some years, but in the last 2 years, the Lord has kind of said, if you ever thought it wouldn't happen, now is the time. Okay. And he's drawn us in, and his yoke is easy, his burden is light. But he didn't explain how fast those oxen were plowing the field, because there's that too. But when God says now is the time, then our hands need to be up, and it's yes, Lord. And it's not easy. It's faith. Lord, I don't know if I can do this. Trust me, says the Lord. Step out, and you can do it. Jesus is the cornerstone. The cornerstone in a building is the most important part. It's a stone that gets set first before there's any structure. It gets placed. And anything that is built in alignment with the cornerstone is going to be true. That's how you build. So if the cornerstone is here and the builders are building down there, you keep it straight. You keep it level. You're building down here. And if you're building and you're building for Jesus and you turn around and have a look at what you've built and it's a little skew, as we were talking this morning, as you were sharing with us this morning, come on, man. Come back. Align it with Jesus. Let's get this straight. The cornerstone. We have to be sold out to him. We have to have our ears and our hearts in tune with him as we serve. Not in our own strength, not with our own wonderful talents and ideas, but following him. Following him. And then the construction will be good. Jesus was rejected. It says that, verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God. I know people in this room have suffered rejection. Many of you have moved on and got healing. Some of you haven't. Some of you carry the scars of rejection. Jesus knows exactly how you feel. And this morning, he's saying, I'm offering you the opposite of rejection. Not just to be included. That's not the opposite. It's chosen. I choose you. I choose you is what the Lord says. Don't feel like you're on the outside looking in. Jesus is saying, come. Come. I choose you. living stones yielded to the master builder. There are living stones outside of the structure looking in. Christine and I did a little bit of church shopping a few years ago, just visiting, listening. Where do I fit in? Where do we fit in, Lord? Is it this place? Is it that place? That's good. I know there are many visitors that visit us regularly in this church, and you might be one of them. Find out where the Lord is calling you. When we came in here, we didn't know, but he began to underline things. He began to confirm, this is where I want you to be. And it's not always because you immediately fit in necessarily. You just get a sense, this is it. Don't be afraid. Settle here, put your hand up, and serve. There may be some like that here. I want to encourage you and say that if you're thinking about it, get confirmation from the Lord, because there's building happening here in Gordons Bay, Josh Jen. This is an exciting time. I'm so excited for what comes down the line. He's preparing us in such a good way. He's going to build. I think by the end of the year, this is going to look so different. Trusting God for that. And lastly, we already sang it, the songs you chose. This building, this structure, these living stones being built into a living temple is for the nations. It's for the nations. The tabernacle in the wilderness with God's presence spread fear into all of the land. When they moved, there were countries they got to where they just parted ways. They said, let these guys through. Their God dwells with them. He's not like our God. You guys come through. The fear of God went ahead of them. The temple in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in the middle of a trading route. Those from the north came through Jerusalem to Egypt, and those from Egypt coming up went through Jerusalem. The temple was there in the middle of this trading route, just showing who the God of Israel is. Everybody knew, from every tribe, every nation around there, the world in those days knew exactly who the God of Israel is. We carry his presence. This is our job now. We are mobile like the tabernacle, because it's not about these walls that confine us. We can go anywhere with God and take his name. But we're also, like the temple, a permanent structure. You can go to any country. Where's the nearest church? Imagine saying that in the Helderberg. You spoilt for choice, like every block has got a church. Some countries it might be a little more difficult. They're in that basement down there, but they're alive. The church is around the world. We bear his name, and what he's doing amongst us is for the nations. God bless.